Hello, everyone. I am with the Flatman Do, recording this weekly podcast. How are you, Flatman Do?
Yeah, all right, fella. How are you?
May the 4th be with you.
Oh, you bugger.
See, I've got Stormtrooper's outfit. That. I've got Stormtrooper's outfit, which you know that I ordered from a prop dealer in America. I've probably worn it 3 times. And
played a lot of money for it, though.
I've ordered it probably 19 years ago now, believe it or not.
Still fit?
Well, I don't know, because I haven't put it on for a while. It's not been theme night in my house.
Yeah.
Obviously, due to lockdown. Copenhagen. That's the safe word. because you can't really associate Copenhagen with another word.
Spumoni, you son of a bitch. I reckon it's still fit. Wasn't it mainly Lycra with plates put on top of it?
Like you've got an all-in-one. You've got an all-in-one Lycra suit, yeah. And then you sort of feed each piece on, and there's a little bit of Velcro that attaches. Velcro's created, actually, from the creator of Velcro. Saw it on a flower or plant.
Really?
Don't know how I know that.
But that's good.
Yeah. So you pull on every piece individually. It takes a lot of time. But the finished article is great. The only thing I don't have, I want a gun. I want a gun to go with it. And it's a bit of a nightmare if you need the toilet. So have to be severely dehydrated. So it's always good to put it on after you've had a big night out. Because you know then you have a wee in the morning. You don't have a wee then till late afternoon, do you?
Yeah, no. That's a good point. Maybe get a real gun.
BB.
Like if post-coronavirus, if we're just all sort of looting and it's
apocalyptic.
Apocalyptic, like The Road by Cormac McCarthy. Get a real gun on the black market.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy enough to do on Gangs of London. So why can't it be easy on Gangs of Penarth?
Just finished it.
What, Gangs of London?
Yeah, have you finished it yet?
No, I'm on episode 6 or 7. It's gory. I like it. Sometimes I have to close my eyes and look away.
Do you?
Because I like it. I love the plot and everything that goes on, but some of the scenes are a little bit...
Yeah, the only... It's really good. The end of it's really good. But the only thing I think is almost a bit like some of the... There's some of the scenes, like the killing scenes and the retribution scenes and stuff, are so massive and violent.
Yeah.
That you end up thinking, because I think the best gangster movies or films like Snatch or Lock, Stock
Scarface.
Or Goodfellas or whatever, Scarface, you think, well, there's every chance this is very, very realistic. So we're not in that world, but this feels very realistic. There are times in Gangs of London where it's like, if anything like this ever happened, we would know about it. And then in the last episode, I think it was 8 or 9 of 9, the main sort of thing happens. And it's like, that just... It could happen, of course it could, but it's like it felt a bit outlandish towards the end.
Yeah.
But see what you think.
Well, at the start, right, you know, the black guy who goes into the pub, Elliot.
Yeah.
Right, he has the fight with all of the Bulgarians or...
Yeah, Algerians, Armenians.
Armenians, yeah. And he is just amazing, isn't he? You think, right, this guy is the best fighter I've ever seen. And then next two fight scenes, you know, he nearly gets taken apart.
Yeah.
And also then, I don't want to spoil it, but this little part was just a little bit... I just thought, when when they go to meet the Albanian and the big security guy gets shot in the head, takes a bullet for what's his name?
Sure.
I want to say John.
Sean Wallace. Yeah. Sean Wallace.
It's not it's not John from Peaky Blinders. For Sean Wallace.
Yeah.
The guy, the sniper, has got so much time to reload and put another one into Sean. But he's just standing there. I'm thinking, what's going on there?
Yeah.
I know they're trying to keep it tense and exciting, but...
It's like there's a couple of shootouts and stuff that were like, if that happened in London, it would be the biggest thing that had happened in London since World War II. And I feel like, I don't know, it feels a bit...
I mean, it was a good shootout scene in the cottage, wasn't it? I think it might be North Wales, maybe.
That was pretty mega. But the shootouts in the city, it's like, it's kind of, I'm not sure, I'm sure that horrible stuff goes on everywhere, but I'm not sure that anybody from anywhere can just wander around with a gun and shoot 11 people in a day and then go out for dinner because they're just so above the law they're not going to get caught. I'm just not sure that's how it works, but I don't know.
Do you think the mum is worse than Darlene from Ozark?
Oh, Darlene.
Yeah.
No, because I think Darlene is proper screw loose, isn't she?
Well, so is the mum. No?
Season 3 of Ozark. Yeah, season 3 of Ozark. Darlene and... what's his name? She hooks up with Ruth's cousin.
I know. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. Wyatt. Was it Wyatt?
Yep.
Yeah, you she hooks it. Up. And they do the romantic scene.
Mm-hmm.
You quite enjoyed that, didn't you? Especially in lockdown, you enjoyed that, didn't you?
Oh, do you know what was good? Seeing Bryn Cartwright in Gangs of London. He's the owner of the pub from Twin Town.
What's he doing in it?
He was Mal. He was Mal. Remember, he owns the pub by the cottage.
Yeah,
He was in Gangs of London. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
William Thomas.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
I always think a good actor.
That's James Hook's favourite actor.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I like the guy who is the head traveller, the guy who survives the big traveller shootout thing. I don't want to ruin it, but the dad, basically.
Yeah.
There was a series that he was in. He was the main guy, but I always think he's really good.
Yeah, mate, he can take some bullets.
Yeah, like he takes about 40 by the end. He's like Terminator. He just heals up with Mercury.
People don't need to watch it now, do they? We've spoiled it for him.
No, I tell you what. You won't predict what's coming in the last episode or two, boys. So enjoy those.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm into that.
I completely forgot about The Last Dance. I've only just watched episode 3 this morning.
Oh, you got another one to go. They release two a week.
It is just. I don't want to say it. I say this stuff all the time. It's some of the best telly I've ever watched.
I reckon Dennis Rodman is Xavier Rush.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Blokes just need a blowout now and again, need to go do what they've got to do.
Yeah.
Drink for 48 hours and then come back refreshed.
Yeah.
But no, it's incredible, isn't it? How much of a say, as you would imagine, Jordan has on that team? It's incredible, isn't it?
I don't know. I wouldn't imagine Messi decides who they sign at Barca, and I don't imagine Aguero has a say on who plays in the team at Man City. Maybe I'm wrong.
They reckon they'd have a big say, a bit like Owen Farrell probably has a huge say in England and with Saracens. You know,
do you reckon? Yeah,
I reckon they'd have to ask his advice on certain players. You know, what do you think of this guy? Would he fit in with the team? Certainly, you know, certainly best player. He was actually voted world's best number 12 recently. I'm not sure by whom, but I read it. Beat Carevery, beat other players.
Okay, good on him.
Delonda, yeah.
I remember, you know, like Will Carling's, I've heard speak about it, and Stuart Barnes has written about it before, and it's like it's almost like rugby captains used to be similar to cricket captains, from what I understand, is that they would have a proper say in picking the team, and they would do the dropping and all that kind of stuff. When I was playing, even the senior player group, yes, we had influence over who played, but not very much. Like, I remember going into one game, and I won't say the names because it's disrespectful, but we had a big game against Leicester, and they were toing and froing with the second rows. And I was like, look, we're against Julian White this weekend, and when he goes off, Castro comes on. It's going to be pretty hard work. I'd quite like this big fella in there instead of this skinny fella in there. And they were like, yeah, but the line out. I was like, yeah, I know the line out, but we're going to get drilled if we haven't got our best scrum out, you know. So basically they were just like, nah, we're going to go with the other guy. And we struggled. We played them five times that season. And that was the first time. And then the other four times they picked the big guy and we dealt with it absolutely fine. We had the scrums were fine. So it's like, I went in and said, look, I don't normally do this, but I need this guy playing this weekend. And they were like, nope.
Yeah. But then, we're not that level of Alan Wynne-Jones, Martin Johnson, you know.
No.
You know, so it's, you know, talking about Michael Jordan now, one of the greatest ever sportsmen.
I'm comparing me talking to the forwards coach at Bath to Michael Jordan playing for the Bulls.
You know, people like Jim Hamilton would have a huge say about who comes to the club, how much people are getting paid.
Massive.
So it's horses for courses, mate. But it is brilliant. It is great. It's up there, I think, with the best sporting documentary. Although I did enjoy the test. Yeah. The test is brilliant. I wanted to watch it.
I still haven't seen that. I just can't imagine it's any better than The Last Dance. The Last Dance is so good. Mm. It's so good. I love it.
I wonder if they'll ever
watch the fourth one.
I wonder if they'll ever bring like a documentary about us out later on down
Flats
the line.
And Shags, The Last Prance.
We've got to be sat in a chair, in a leather chair, with a glass of whiskey and a Hamlet like he does. It's just, he epitomizes coolness. Not that it's cool to smoke, but it just looks, he looks the part.
Yeah, but come on, smoking can be cool. I mean, you know, menthols. Mm. I've never been a smoker. I've never done that, but
same.
I've tried them, but I don't like them. But I, you know, now and again, you watch like a murder mystery and there's a couple of French detectives, male and female, and they're having a tab outside. You're like,
I'm a bad boy. Go tell your moms. Yeah.
My little girl last night, yesterday was, so she's 8, as you know, little Buddha. And she was like, so daddy, if you were a girl and you wanted a boyfriend, would you want a nerd, just a normal, like, nice guy, or a bad boy? I was like, hang on a minute. What have you been watching? Oh, this thing on YouTube. And she's like, I don't want a boyfriend yet. So I always say, or a girlfriend. And she's like, yeah, whatever. I don't want a boyfriend or girlfriend yet. Maybe when I'm like 15. But I think I want probably a nerd because they're just nicer. And they're not all the time like trying to be naughty. I was like, yeah, because naughty's not cool. I was like, correct. But he's not often your 8-year-old ass if starts talking about bad boys, is it?
That's going to change, mate. That's going to change. She's gonna want a bad boy, someone that graffitis, someone that sticks chewing gum under the desk, wears his tie really short at school, maybe his blazer inside out.
I was cleaning the kitchen table yesterday, and I normally clean the top of it, so I cleaned just put my hand on the bottom of it, and I was like, what is that? I looked underneath, and there is all sorts of ketchup, food, mayo, bits of chicken.
They're storing
it. Yeah, mate, it's like chewing gum. They've found a way. It's just, they wipe their hands on the bottom of the table.
Are they like hiding their food from their plate so you give them pudding because they've eaten it all? Yeah.
Yeah, there was like half a meal under there.
I keep finding snails in my house.
Really?
Yeah, because my 1-year-old, well, he's more than one now. He's at 18, 19 months. I don't even know. I don't even care.
Whatever, he's not 2 yet.
Keeps bringing snails in. Love snails. Sometimes there's snails inside them. Sometimes it's just a shell. More often than not, it's just a shell. And I just think, where is a snail? Because he's had this habit recently of just trying to scoop a snail out with his fingers. So, it's disgusting.
Yeah, but you can eat them. He'd be all right.
Yeah, well, I put him in a bit of garlic.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, mate, I had a lovely Côte de Bœuf.
I saw that.
Mmm.
Looked like you cooked it very well.
Yes.
Well played.
Yes, I did. Used a proper barbecue. Proper charcoals, got it hot on one side, cool on the other, seared it, and then just left it for probably 15 minutes, turned it once. But the marinade I had it in was just one of the nicest things I've had. You know, people say all you need is a bit of salt, pepper, a bit of oil, maybe a bit of garlic. Yeah. Nah, not for me.
I say that because I'm lazy.
Yeah, I found this recipe online, and I can't remember, but off the top of my head, it was a bit of soy sauce, a bit of Worcester sauce, some oil. I put a bit of chili flakes in there. What else was in there? Salt, pepper, garlic. But just lovely. And because it had a little bit of everything in it, it really browned and crisped the skin. A bit of lime juice as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I will be doing that again. Put it in a freezer bag all day. So, absolutely delicious. What have you been cooking? Anything exciting?
Tell you what, a brilliant one the other night. We did, it's a really good idea. So,
I'll be the judge of that.
It's a good idea. So, Matt Powell's wife, she suggested there are 4 of us, kind of us lads and wives. It's 4 couples. Let's do a virtual dinner party. So, get on Zoom.
God.
And everyone does a course. Everyone suggests a course that the other people have to make. So my suggestion was beer can chicken.
Yeah.
So either in the oven or on the barbie, really simple. Sit your chicken on a can of beer and cook it. And it's the tough thing that's come out of it is that in the last fortnight, I've done 1 rotisserie chicken on the Kamado Joe.
Yes.
Over the coals. I've done one smoked chicken on the Traeger, and I've done again on the Kamado Joe a beer can chicken, and they've all been, it's not skill, it's just set it up and put it on. They've all been so good that I don't know which to do next, because they've all been slightly different. But like the chicken the other night, it was almost like, it was so juicy that it's like,
go on, sorry.
It's like, it's almost like, is this raw? It was not that in a bad way, but it was like, has this been cooked? It just looks like paper. It's like a drawing of a chicken.
Was it better than your Christmas turkey you did one year? And it was...
Exactly. Christmas turkey. And I said yesterday, Tommy,
yeah,
I want to find a turkey. I'm going to try and buy a turkey online if I can find, but you can't find any. I'd buy a turkey today if I could, boy.
Would you? I like to. You get frozen ones.
Turkeys. Yeah, I want to try and get a... I might try and find a frozen one then. I just thought, I've got all these meat companies and it's like, they don't do turkey. There's no market for turkey, is there?
No. Well, we haven't actually got a celebrity sort of sports star guest today, have we? We thought we'd ring up Joe Public. We thought we'd ring up a guy that looks after us a little bit at Guinness. I mean, his official title is Head of Commercial Planning and Activation on
whatever
trade.
That means.
Yeah, exactly. But I think he's more of the Willy Wonka of Guinness.
The Willy what?
He's the type of guy that would have Guinness on his cornflakes. Loves it. Yeah. Loves it. You know, if you ever see him out cycling, he'd have it in his water bottle. Lives and breathes the stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to invite him into this conversation.
Right, let's do it.
I don't know when he's going to come in. I've invited him. We'll see. But his name's James...
Can he just join as we go along, can he?
Well, that's what I'm hoping. His name is James Metcalf.
His nickname Mets. The best thing he's ever done is have Mets embroidered into his rugby boots.
Yeah. And believe it or not, he was a 10. Probably not the most creative of 10, but, you know, he, by the looks of him, he'd hit a good line off 9, get it over the gain line, and then just needs a really creative 12 outside him.
You can imagine him being a good communicator, can't you? In that he would talk a lot.
Yeah. You know, get you up for a game, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's just an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, we'll have another one of the lads on or one of the ladies on Thursday, and we'll get some cool... We do get cool guests on, but this was just a bit different because it's like, actually, you know, let's talk about the impact this has had on a different world, because we know the impact it's having on rugby. That's sort of in the public eye. But if you are a bigwig at a brand like Guinness, I bet this has hit them every bit as hard as it's hit rugby, you know, so just quite interesting to find out.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to nose him too much about work. We want to find out what he's been doing day to day. Is he connected?
Mets, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah,
as good as you can be, I suppose.
What have you been up to? Come on, you know, enlighten us.
it's been a pretty hectic few weeks. Work's been pretty busy, as you can imagine, working in the kind of pub trade.
You still got a job?
Still got a job, which is good. So
great.
In the grand scheme of things, and perspective being key, yeah, that's a good result. But I've pretty much completed the lockdown bingo. Especially, so I'm on about my 47th quiz. And now kind of rotating around all of the answers, so I pretty much know the answer to every question because they've just been rotating through every quiz.
Is it like the quizzes you get in House Party? All of a sudden the same questions end up coming up and up and up, and you just know them off by heart.
Yeah, basically.
What year was Nelson Mandela released, Robben Island?
When was the Battle of Hastings?
1066 and 1990. Yeah. It's relentless, and I seemed unable to retain any of the answers I got yesterday for a quiz that's today. So I get the same ones wrong every time. I think I'm now too old to learn. I can't learn anything new. I feel like it's game. Have you learned to... I follow you on Instagram, obviously, and you've had your hair cut, which is nice. You've been chipping and putting in the garden. Have you learned anything new over this period, Mets?
Yeah, I have actually. One of the guys in my team has been running some cocktail making classes, so been doing a bit of that, and learned to make a shrub, which is like a sort of dates back to when they were treating scurvy. So it's like a fruit-based vinegar, and it's a lovely like cocktail ingredient, but can also be used as a vinaigrette. So I've been making a few of those for cocktails.
I like vinegar on my chips, but I wouldn't say I'd like it in a cocktail. But
well, you'd be surprised. It's like a kind of.
I've got such an open mind, mate. I'm up for anything.
I'll ping you over a couple of recipes.
Shanks is like the Dennis Rodman of the cocktail world. he's just bang up for it. How's your hair cut? Because I saw your wife cut your hair for you, didn't she, the other day?
Yeah, it went well, actually. I've had a few comments already on Zoom this morning. Faded it slightly with a pair of beard trimmers.
Yeah.
Fade on.
Got her a couple of tutorials on YouTube.
When's she going to finish
made
it?
Made her watch those.
Joke. So obviously, Matt, you've been married recently, but this is meant to be the period you're going on your honeymoon, isn't it? And unfortunately, you can't. How disappointed are you?
It was pretty down last week, but kind of over it now. We were due to fly to San Francisco on Saturday for a nice little kind of very stereotypical Mustang road trip down the West Coast, stopping every Hooters.
Wicked.
Lucy was really looking forward to it, but no, so that's not meant to be, unfortunately. So I'm spending the time in Birmingham, which I'd rather not be anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And people often say Vegas Birmingham. It's like, think of the environment, go to Brum. That is a shame, and I've got a trip booked the end of next month to the Maldives. And I'm still confident it's going to go ahead. I'm definitely going. I mean, I'm kidding myself, but I'm still in that world. So you're dealing with it. I haven't dealt with it yet, Mets.
Birmingham and Vegas are actually twinned because they're both cities. Both cities you can pay for a sexy dance with chips.
There we are. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, piss off, Shanks. Mets, tell us that just briefly. We don't want to talk about shop too much, but in our world of elite rugby and sort of elite sport, you it's obvious how it's been affected in that it's just stopped. But your world, I guess, yes, there's lots of branding and endorsements and sponsorships and tie-ups and partnerships and all that, but actually I'm guessing the main business is pubs, and it's been hit pretty hard because there ain't none open.
Yeah absolutely. We're lucky, I suppose, in this market that supermarkets are still huge in terms of consumption of booze, but yeah, it's really tough for that sector, and really feel for the guys that own, just particularly the smaller kind of operators that own pubs and bars and restaurants. It's really tough at the moment, and the trade bodies have been doing a good job of kind of lobbying the government, and the government has supported the trade fantastically well. But I think there's still a long way to go there. I think the challenge is there's no real clarity yet on what kind of reopening or coming off lockdown looks like, and there's lots of complexity in that as well. I think kind of if there's social distancing in place within pubs and they're allowed to reopen but under certain restrictions, I think that might actually stop pubs reopening despite the fact being allowed to, because you need to have a certain amount of space within the pub to make that experience still kind of why people want to go to pubs. People go to pubs because of the vibe and the ambience and the atmosphere, but if you're sitting at a table 2 meters away from everybody else, it will kind of be a weird environment. So I don't envy the guys that are planning how we come off this and what that looks like, because it's a really tough decision and a really tough strategy to kind of build, really.
You just know, though, once we are allowed into pubs and everything is back to as what we can now call the new normal, the trade will hopefully just fly again, though, because personally, I know everybody is just desperate to get out, to socialise, to try and get a bit of normality back into their lives. A bit more, you know, everyone is missing the pub trade. And I think as soon as you get the green light, you know, business is hopefully going to be booming for them.
Yeah, absolutely. As I say, it will depend largely on what kind of measures are in place from there. But it's a cornerstone of British society, isn't it? The pub. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are missing it a lot. So I think it will definitely be on.
Tell us a little bit about your playing days, because I mean, we hammered you a little bit before you came online.
A little bit.
It's like we like to do it to all our guests. But you played a fairly decent level of rugby, didn't you?
It feels like ancient history now, and I suppose I'm part of the kind of 90-odd% that don't make it. But yeah, a long time ago, so I
99%. It's 99%, I think.
99%, yeah. So I joined the Tigers Academy when I was 15. I'm from Birmingham and went to school in Birmingham, and it was tough work, kind of driving up there after school. So didn't actually get to much of that training, which was a shame, but was in there with Tom Youngs and Ben Pienaar, Ollie Dodge, a few of those guys that then went on to play schoolboys at 16 group with him. And that's when Youngsy was a centre, a terrifying centre. It was like full kind of man strength at 15, which was pretty terrifying.
Yeah, definitely.
And Ross Batty, who you'll know, Flats.
I know Roscoe, yeah.
He was good fun. And Anthony Allen, a few of those boys, and then played 18 group with Dan Cole when there was kind of 14 different 18 group teams. It's like a September the 1st team, January the 1st team, January the 15th team, October the 12th team. I think I was in the lowest down one. We went out to France and played in the AER tournament there and beat France in the final, which was good fun with Morgan Parra playing for France.
Are you reading this?
No, he talks about it a lot.
This is basically my entire groom speech. I think I'm just
he's reading it off LinkedIn.
Yeah, so that was a long time ago, and then went out and played a season in Australia, and that was when I ruptured my bicep. Dislocated my shoulder and ruptured my bicep, and that was kind of me done. Went to uni.
Oh, don't start Flats off on shoulders. We'll have the whole 20 reconstructions. Can't throw a dart anymore.
Yeah, I'm on two reconstructions.
I remember when I was on two.
Went to uni and couldn't play, so obviously just got on the pizzas, and that was the end of that, really.
Yeah, so you chose the second best option is to work for probably the biggest brewer in the world.
Yeah, I actually wrote my undergraduate dissertation about Guinness at Durham, so that was handy for the interview. Yeah, I figured if I was going to write 10,000 words on anything, I needed to know a little bit about it.
Oh, well done. So how'd you write 10,000 words on Guinness?
It was kind of more to do with the marketing side, like the kind of branding and the kind of how they've built that brand, basically. It's obviously an iconic brand in not just in booze, but in everything, kind of up with Coke and those sorts of brands. So it was an exercise in branding, basically. So I did a study on how people were, and that this was kind of a while ago when Guinness wasn't particularly fashionable. It's definitely had a huge resurgence over the course of the last 5 or 6 years, and everybody you talk to, you definitely see a hell of a lot more people drinking it, and particularly younger people as well, and women, and that's a big kind of focus for us as well. So,
in your dissertation, did you put the words "this will put hairs on your chest" in it at all? Anywhere.
No, I don't think that was in the marketing textbook. No, it's a bit more scientific than that.
Lost the trick there, I reckon.
The thinking drinker's Nuki Brown. When you've been talking, you know, at sort of board meetings and you're at top level and with Guinness and it's all, you know, things are going great. This is sort of pre-corona. I don't know what the answer could be, no, but I mean, how often do people reference me and Shanks in terms of the resurgence of Guinness as a brand?
All the time. Yeah, it's a kind of key pillar of growth, I suppose, to use a wanky marketing term.
I suppose, like, when you think of Chicago Bulls, you think of Jordan, don't you?
Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, when you think of Mercedes McLaren, you think of Lewis Hamilton.
Or
Patron Mercedes. I kind of change it all the time. When you think of Guinness, you think of Flats and Shanks. So you're welcome. You're welcome.
Because Shanks and I mean, we'll talk about it off the podcast. We've got a few ideas for Guinness's next TV campaign, stuff that we can do. with the horses and the waves and the sea and stuff, we've got an idea. We've got a big idea. It does involve barbecuing. but I think let's have a chat. Actually, do you know what? This isn't the time. Let's have a chat off pod about, you know, how Shanks and I can really get sort of Guinness back to where it needs to be.
Inner City Sumo.
As of Wednesday.
Yeah.
As of Wednesday. Inner City Sumo, yeah. A partridge amongst the pigeons. So your job, Mets, your job presumably has changed in the last month or two because it's probably turned to... Is it difficult to strategise when no one knows what's going to happen?
Exactly, yeah. We're kind of in a planning process at the moment of trying to work out what it looks like over the course of the next few months, and ultimately nobody knows, and we may know a bit more about what that looks like kind of at the end of this week, but it's trying to create a plan that can be as agile and flexible as possible, really, to turn on quickly if we need to, if the on-trade, which is kind of pubs and bars, opens faster, then we can switch a few things on. But I suppose the big thing for us will be the Autumn Internationals. That's a huge, huge kind of period in terms of activation for us. And it will just all depend on whether that is allowed to go ahead. I mean, kicking off with the All Blacks in that first weekend in November has got the potential to be massive if we are kind of off lockdown, sport is allowed and crowds are allowed as well. And then potentially even if the Guinness Six Nations finishes at the end of October, who knows? But just have to be able to plan to, if it going ahead in different capacities and how big the kind of execution will be.
I mean, the biggest news to come out this week has been that Ireland are going to be opening golf courses maybe this week, maybe next week, and you can play if you're a member and live within 5 kilometres of the club. So, I mean, I'm hoping that that comes over to the UK. And, I mean, that's the biggest news, guys. You know, forget work. If golf clubs are open, then I'm in.
Talk about a sport that lends itself to social distancing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect.
You would hope. Fingers crossed for here as well on that one.
It's perfect. Yeah, scrummaging, not so much. I heard a bit of chat. We hear loads of chat, don't we, you know, on what's going to happen and what's not, and just a few mates around different clubs and whatever that play or used to play or whatever. And the chat I heard a couple of days ago, which... I don't like talking about stuff which puts the willies up you a little bit, was that they have been told there is a significant likelihood that even all of the games next season will be played without crowds. So there will be no crowds allowed this season if they finish this season or next season. So that mass gatherings might not be allowed in a 2021 rugby season or football season. I mean, it sounds unthinkable, but they've been told there is a significant possibility that that could come about. I mean, that's serious stuff.
It is serious stuff. Yeah. It's also good news that they can get sport back on. They can get it back on the TV. Yeah, you won't be able to go watch it. But I think one thing I'm missing massively is just watching any kind of live sport at the moment. You can't do. I've had to watch pole vaulted online. There was 3 pole vaulters who had a little competition in their back garden. That was it. That was it.
Shanks' little specialist websites. I'm not a sports. I don't watch as much sport as Shanks, but I'm missing. Everyone misses different sports, but I'm really missing Match of the Day. I'm missing rugby, obviously. Really missing Match of the Day. Really missing UFC. I'm missing sort of low level boxing, which I quite enjoy watching. It's like so. I think as soon as sport arrives, it will be on TV, it will be devoured by people. And I think as soon as pubs open, I can imagine as soon as it's convenient, you know, as soon as we're allowed to not, you know, be close to other human beings again, I think you'd imagine the trade will just fly.
I think there's a piece on when they're allowed to open, and I suppose sport as well, but actually how confident are people that they're safe, I suppose. So there is, we will rush back to pubs and to stadiums if we can, but there will be a huge proportion of people who will not feel comfortable to do that until they feel perfectly safe to go out. Particularly, I guess, the elderly population as well. So who knows? We're kind of working through a few potential solutions of how we try and drive consumer confidence and make outlets safer. How do you provide hand sanitization and things like that? So there's loads of different angles that we're trying to work on at the moment, and how we try and help drive that consumer confidence for people just to feel comfortable to go back out again.
Yeah, well, let's hope that is soon. Now, Mets, we'll leave you get back to your conference calls. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy, hectic schedule of putting, haircuts, cocktail making,
grilling, shrub assembly.
Yeah. All of that. Just so you know, I think you're probably the first during this isolation period semi-pro athlete we've had on this podcast. So, well done, congratulations. It's a first.
Semi-pro. Never know what that means.
And
hey, cheers, mate.
And you've handled yourself well. All right, mate.
Excellent.
Well, all right, isn't he, Shanks, actually? Yeah.
And I'll send you over. I know you're desperate to listen to this back and make sure it's clear before I can upload it. So.
Yeah, he has to check content, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because of branding and, yeah, it's big brands and it's compliance. Well done.
I'll get it across you ASAP, all right, mate?
Right, chaps.
Cheers, Mets.
Enjoy.
Look after yourself. Fella, keep going.
Cheers. Right.
Just keep going, yeah? Ta-ra.
There we are,
Flats. Doesn't know how to log off because I never know how to log off. Oh, mate. I just always shut my laptop and run.
I've just cancelled him. He's gone.
Funny, I meant to ask, and as he puts the phone down, I realise, because he's a hairy man, isn't he? He's a hirsute individual.
Well, apparently his nickname at school was Chewbacca.
There you go.
Yeah. Wolf boy.
Go. Yeah. He weighs 20 kilos more when it's been raining.
Hmm.
A mate of mine on a WhatsApp group from school, basically, one of my old school, they're going around and one of the lads has said, oh, lads, I've started grooming in lockdown, man grooming, and he sent some pictures, and I won't forward them on. They are horrendous. He's basically got it wrong and used a beard trimmer, and he looks like a plucked chicken. But the lad sent us down this rabbit hole of man grooming, and everyone apparently is getting right into it in lockdown. I wondered if Mets was, because there's a lot of groundsmanship to be undertaken there.
Yeah,
it's not something I've really got into. I've been more baking sourdough and cooking chickens.
It's a dangerous place though when you're in the shower or the bath and you have a pair of clippers on you, because you start on one thing and sometimes you just don't know when to stop.
Yeah,
you know, maybe I'll do a bit of it. Oh, yeah, that looks pretty. Oh no, yeah. Oh, too much. Oh, what have I done?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's, you know, you're best off if you want to cut your hair, do it outside, because otherwise, you're right, you can.
Temptation.
You can look like a newborn baby, a rather large one, but.
Yeah, really rather large one. Mm. FYI, after this pod, I'm going to stick a pair of
pants on.
Shorts
okay.
on. Lycra shorts and some slammers, and I'm going to go and do some squats and a few pulls in the back garden.
Okay, I might have a row. Although my elbow. I've got rower's elbow.
Fella, on that, I've got knackered elbows as well. I've got something that will help you.
You're like my wife. I can't be ill on my own. If I say I'm ill, go on then.
No, my elbows, I've taken anti-inflams for my elbows.
Go on then, Craig Quinnell. Go on then.
But just get really cheap elbow sleeves. Go to SBD or Ray-Ban or something like that. Loads of brands online.
Vulcan.
And you just, well, that kind of stuff. But you put a sleeve on your elbow before you start, and it takes it up to temperature so quick, it warms them up so quick, it really, really helps.
I want a Vulcan because that reminds me of gladiators, make me think like I'm Hunter. So, awooga. Anyway, that's on tonight.
Johnson for a while.
That's on tonight. SAS, Who Dares Wins.
Oh, yeah.
It's Monday.
I was all settled down for it last night, 9 o'clock, 5 to 9, let's have it. Yes. Oh, no, it's tomorrow.
Mm.
By the way, Normal People, have you started watching it yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's brilliant. It is intense. It's excruciating.
Okay,
it's
I'm in.
Very, very good.
You're normally not bad for recommendations, apart from Gossip Girl. I didn't enjoy that. You loved it. You've seen all the series.
I like that.
Yeah. All right, that will do us, Flatman Do.
Hey, keep going, fella.
Yeah, keep being positive. You sound really upbeat today. So
yeah, it's a good day. It's a good day.
Just a teaspoon of ambition twice a day, mate. I told you, that's all you need, all right?
That's it. You keep going, all right?
Okay, bye, everybody.
Don't let him win. Cheers, boy.